It seems we have been able to make it to a second edition.
Episode
this
two.
Is Tech Wrap, episode two, with Trent and Will.
Hello.
That guy sitting on the other side of the table, as you can imagine.
Almost as filling as a burrito.
It is almost as filling as a burrito.
As they say.
And we're online and we're on iTunes now. We've worked all that business out.
Wow.
Online at techwrap.net and also approved on iTunes. So just search for Tech Wrap if you're if you haven't found us on iTunes at this moment, and you can subscribe so that it's automatically delivered to your device when you're ready to listen next
time. That's handy.
It's handier than going to the website every time there's a new edition.
Just subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Most definitely. Yeah. And it's an automatic download every time you open iTunes. So
easy.
That's nifty.
What if you're not listening and you haven't heard about us? How do you find us without us telling you?
Well, that would be a bit of a difficulty, I would think.
Tell a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell some friends.
So we're here to talk about tech news throughout the week.
Things that have happened during
the week. Things that have happened during the week and our thoughts on that.
Yeah, we're sharing our own tangent on the whole topics that have happened.
Let's kick it off, shall we?
So we'll get started?
Yeah.
A big one for the week was Apple Music. It launched on Wednesday, about 4 a.m. our time, and in the form of essentially for your iPhones and your iPads, it was a software update, so you could download it through the general menu and install it, and then you had a little music icon, like I have right here
on
my iPhone.
So you've downloaded it?
Yeah, so I've got a music icon, so you press that one, and then a little screen comes up, and you can select to stream music, you can look at videos, you can try their radio service.
Oh, wow, look very fancy.
And you can even tell it what you like in the way of music genres, and it'll try and piece together some music choices on that.
Much like other streaming services that we currently have.
It is a lot like the other streaming services. Pricing-wise, it's about the same, $11.99 a month for individuals, but they've got a family option as well, which will allow six users on the one account for about $17.99. It offers a library about the same size as Spotify at the moment. 256 kilobit audio is what they're guaranteeing at this point in time. It's also got that Beats One radio station.
So you've been trying it out. You've been sampling.
I've sampled it on and off over the last couple of days.
So it's a free trial? You download it as a free trial, 30 days?
So free, not 30 days, 3 months.
3 months? Wow, that's really good.
So by the time
By
the time a new iPhone comes out, you can finish up your
trial. You stream unlimited music?
Yes.
For 3 months?
Yes. And all you have to do
is there's no ads or anything?
No.
Wow, that's really good.
And you just
search for songs, whatever.
Yeah, have to log in with your Apple ID to sign up. And that's it.
Not available on any other devices, though, yet.
Not on Android at the moment, but give it a couple of months at tops, and then they'll have a version out because they've finally realized, it's stupid to just make it for Apple's iOS and Mac and Windows.
I guess they want the initial release, for their loyal customers Apple and things
and
like that.
And add to the flair of being an Apple user.
I did see a thing, though, because it was so new. Some guy figured out the HTTP streaming URL, and it was unencrypted. So he posted the link, and you could actually, from any device, tap into that stream if you're on, your home computer or your Android, and then you could unofficially stream it to those devices just from streaming from the HTTP URL.
All sorts
they've
of
quickly,
music.
They've patched, what was streaming at that URL on the time, but they've since patched that and fixed that, so you no longer can do that as time of listening to this.
As they would have.
But that was pretty funny, I think.
They would have rolled that out pretty quickly
as coming soon across Android and Windows in the coming months.
Well, Windows has already rolled out, as in the Windows operating system, not for the phones, though. That's the only
mobile device.
That's the only market that isn't being tapped, Windows Phone.
I assume they'll bring it to it soon.
Well, you would hope so.
Yeah,
for the small percentage of Windows users, and I'm not paying you out, Windows users, I actually like the OS. It looks pretty neat.
Windows 10 coming out.
Windows 10 is coming out.
End of the month, end of July?
Yeah, end of July.
26th-ish.
But no.
Before we talk about that, tell me about your experience with Apple. How do you like it? How are you finding it?
I actually like the way you can search around for the artists. Artist searches are a lot easier. The way it integrates with Siri, because I've got an iPhone, so I can just say, "Oh, here, hang on, I'll actually do one."
Siri, play me some Justin Bieber.
So here,
is that top search?
I'll get Siri to hopefully play a song for me.
Siri, Spice Girls.
Play Jess Glynn, Hold My Hand.
Hold my hand. Oh, that's me singing. There it is. There you go. That's really cool. So you just integrated straight into Siri and you can just play any music and it will automatically link. That's really cool.
And I couldn't stop.
I wish I had an iPhone now to try it out.
So now I can just search for Ada. I can get Siri to search for songs that I want to hear, as long as it can understand my pronunciations of the artist.
And I hear you can also integrate it into your alarm clock as well.
Yeah.
So you can choose any song you want to wake up to which is really cool, because any other thing you need, like your alarm clock, and then you've got to manually download the song, put it on your phone, then select the song from your phone. It's very like tedious and it's almost too much effort. But here you can just have a new song every day to wake up to, or a playlist throughout the week. That's really
cool. Most definitely.
This is really cool. I like it a lot.
I tell you what the downer on Apple Music at the moment is.
Uh-oh. It's got to be something.
No variable sort of streaming rates. So 256 is 256.
It'll eat your bandwidth if you're on mobile data.
It does eat your bandwidth on your mobile data. And 1 hour of streaming, some tech people have analysed, is about 50 megabytes of data. So if you do that over 6 hours, you've used 300 megabytes. And with an Australian...
Just in a day.
Yeah. And with an Australian...
Are you listening to 6 hours, though, out of a day, do you reckon?
Some people would just on mobile music on
data,
their phone
most
all day.
People could find a Wi-Fi spot, realistically, I think, amongst that.
Yeah.
But still, over 30-day period...
If you add that up over 30 days, the average data cap is between one and a half gigs.
Yeah.
You're going to use very, very quickly.
So you want to find Wi-Fi for Apple.
You'd want to find that Wi-Fi. You wouldn't be able to just stream on the go all the time. And I think that's part of the reason why I'm at 85% of my data cap now.
It's only, what, the third of
month? Not all being Apple Music. Of course, I do lots of things on my mobile phone. I tweet, I Facebook, I upload pictures. So it's all added up. And then Apple Music comes in and it's just like, thud, there you go.
Yeah, and then you combine that with, say, like other like Netflix or something on the phone. But I think a lot of these are designed for Wi-Fi,
they are designed
in your home. But if you're in your home, just use your computer or your TV, I guess. But
yeah.
Mobile, you want to be on the go to view content, listen to content, especially music.
Yeah.
And this is what I see as being a problem in the future, because there's going to be so much more stuff that's going to be streamed and pushed out there.
Stuff
for your phone, and mobile content is like becoming more and more consumed as a video and music source and stuff. But we have these archaic restrictions on bandwidth.
On data,
Like we can only use 2 gig, and then we have all this stuff to stream. So the streaming companies want to get more content out to people, and they're going to be losing out because people can't watch it because they reach their caps. So I think they're going to have to reach out to the providers and say, hey, you got to increase people's data caps so they can listen to more music and stuff. Although they still get money either way, even if you can't watch it, you still get paid. So it's not really that much of a problem for them, but it's a problem for you. That's annoying, actually.
And, you know, I sit there and look at Telstra's latest innovation, which was the Wi-Fi service from the phone boxes.
Mm, only for Telstra customers, right?
And it was a free trial for a while, but now it's switched over to the paid plan. And you've got to be not just a Telstra customer, you've got to be a Telstra Big Pond customer to be able to use it. I'm not a Telstra Big Pond customer. Those phone boxes are now rendered useless to me. You know, what can I do with their Wi-Fi now?
It seemed like a good idea at the start to make, let's just turn phone boxes into Wi-Fi hotspots. And you see this happening elsewhere as well. I think in the States they're doing something very similar.
Yeah.
But it should be free. Just make it free and ad-supported, you know. Put some Telstra ads up on there.
Well, they could have done that. I mean,
you have to sign into the Telstra homepage, and there's products you can buy from Telstra, and you just hit sign on and then you're done. Something like that.
Telstra would have been able to make money out of it somehow.
Yeah.
It's all a part of a broader plan. They've got a system they've got called Telstra Air, which this has now become. And it also includes home users. They can get a little Wi-Fi device which allows them to share their Wi-Fi connection to other Telstra customers, so that in turn you can go past someone else's house who's got the same feature. Sign in with your Big Pond account and you can use their Wi-Fi too.
Does it go to your quota though?
No. It comes out of like a group quota thing.
Yeah,
so,
that's interesting.
So if I go to John's house and I use my Big Pond account on John's Wi-Fi, it comes out of my data plan.
I like to just
And if John comes to my house and uses mine using his Big Pond ID, it's his quota it comes out of.
It's very confusing.
It's a little bit confusing. And
just go around to John's place and go, mate, what's your Wi-Fi
password? I just want to borrow some data.
You don't need to go to this huge convoluted way to get onto his Wi-Fi. If you're a friend, just ask for the password. I just like to drive around looking for unsecure Wi-Fi networks, park outside people's houses and download things. So,
do they ever notice?
No. I'm gone before the cops get there. So also, not only can you stream music and songs, but you can listen to you can live listen to, stations.
You can listen to Beats One Radio. That's the current radio station that's set up.
And have you had a listen to it at all?
I have had a listen to it. It's got varying personalities. There's a few of them from the UK, I should say. Yeah. One of those
so
is...
So it's like DJs and producers hosting shows playing their music or music they like, or is it a set playlist?
No, it's a set playlist. Yeah, okay. So Zane Lowe, who used to be a music producer, and he was also on BBC One over in the UK. He's on there now. And it's kind of like a split shift setup. It looks like they do about 2 hours each, and they do them across a day. So he might be on at, say, 7 and 8 a.m., but he can be back at 8 and 9 p.m., for instance.
Yeah, I saw this. They were saying basically one of the first shows, Zane or whoever it was saying, oh, you're listening live, Beats One Radio, da 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 da. And they went for about, I think, like the segments you were saying, for about 10 or 12 hours of them actually on shift live.
Mm.
And then after that, they did a replay of the show. So it was the same content again, the same people, just like, so 12 hours on, then 12 hours of replay or something. Like half of it was a replay throughout the day.
You can't do a live shift.
Well, you could, right? So I think people, you know, whether you're tuning in, you've heard that, and then you tune in again later, and it's just the same thing. Like, is that cool? Can't you get, maybe that's just how they're starting off, doing it like that, and eventually when more
interest grows, they get more producers. Yeah.
You know, gets people from other side of the world. Let's do, the US can do, you know, during their time zone and stuff, and then when they're asleep, let's get some Australian people in and doing, producing and DJing and doing shows. And then you could have like a 24-hour non-stop live network of people from around the world. That could be really cool.
I reckon that would be probably what they do later on. It's
early days, and people are expecting so much from it because they're so used to all the other streaming services and they want it to be perfect. And we are forgetting it's only like a week old.
And they're expecting a lot because it's Apple as well.
Exactly.
And because it's Apple, you know.
Apple Watch compatibility. Can I stream from my watch?
I don't know.
Through my phone?
I don't know. I haven't looked into the Apple Watch. Surely Apple Watch does work with Apple Music, though.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
Can you import, what if you have a collection already on your iPod, and then does that sync then to your Apple streaming, and then you can stream your collection anywhere?
Collection of what?
Well, you have iTunes music database, your own music.
Mm.
Does that sync with Apple, the new Apple Music streaming?
You can sync with Apple Music. Some of the syncing is not working effectively at the moment. They're going to need to patch. There's an issue with album art.
So people have customized their own layouts and their own tags and data and put their own album art. And then when it syncs to the cloud, it just pulls from Apple's database and then overwrites all their settings.
It's messed up
all their
art. Yeah.
That would suck. So I think probably at the moment, don't do it if you've spent a lot of time customizing your own library. Sync it up.
But do enjoy Apple Music.
Go and have
a free trial. I mean,
three months
for free.
I hope they do that with the Android versions as well, not just Apple. Because
3 months for free.
And then how much after that?
You really get to test the waters before you have to start paying. $11.99 per month for an individual.
And I'm sure the database and the music they're going to have is just going to grow and grow because it's Apple and they're going to dominate
the
world.
They're going to just sign contracts with everyone and get it rolling, you know?
How's this for Spotify and all those other ones? How are they looking at the moment?
Spotify is already suffering from
people. What happened to Pandora? Are they still relevant?
Pandora's around, but they're not hot.
Yeah.
They
kind of started off and then the other one sort of superseded it.
They weren't innovating the way that the others were. So people have just jumped on board another trend and gone with that one instead. And Spotify, and they're suffering from this at the moment. They actually disabled the option to cancel easily online. Like they had a two-click option to cancel.
Oh, no.
Because they feared that people were going to start cancelling their subscriptions. So you have to currently contact Spotify customer support to cancel.
That's terrible. I think when you're getting to that stage when you have to make it really convoluted and hard for people to cancel your subscription service, you know you're in trouble.
People are getting frustrated already about it, and there are people leaving in droves.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm sitting on the fence. I'm still paying for my Spotify subscription so that I can sit there and compare both of them and have a good crack at it and still feel comfortable in one. Until I know where I'm going to go. I think I'm going to stay with Spotify because Spotify uses less data than Apple Music at the moment.
It's a lower quality stream though, isn't it? Lower bit rate.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't even notice with your normal earbuds.
But if you think about the average punter,
the average punter can't
even tell the difference
between...
They
like to say they do, but I bet you they don't.
128 kilobit MP3 and a CD.
Well,
they can't tell the difference.
128 versus 256.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way.
They can't tell the difference, so it's not going to matter. You turn the setting down and you just sacrifice it so you can have...
Especially with data
all, like, music
and everything.
Anywhere
and
you
Spotify
like,
are trying to innovate. They're trying to introduce, like, are they going to do a video streaming thing or something like that in the future? So maybe then they're trying to, you know, maybe they will stay relevant.
They might stay relevant.
I think they'll stay relevant regardless.
Yeah.
But they are innovating and bringing in new stuff. Does that mean we'll see video then eventually down for Apple Music and we can do video streaming and music videos and
Apple Music, you can already do that.
Oh, can you?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
There's a video collection. There is a video library in there as well.
And I've seen that also Facebook are now in talks with some music labels. I don't know if you've seen this. This is like they've just seen Facebook sort of negotiating, or not negotiating, but just in talks with Universal and Warner and Sony.
I get the feeling
possibly
that this
trying to integrate some. I don't think they're trying to do a streaming, like a music streaming, but they're trying to do something with content.
I get the feeling this is like MySpace 2.0.
This is all everywhere in Google are looking at doing streaming as well. And it's going to be crazy. Good competition, I guess, but too much segregation, I think, especially if you want to do exclusive releases on, say, one Apple Music get exclusive albums and then all the other ones are kind of left hanging. It's not good.
Segregation is a bad thing as well. Segregation is a bad thing. If you look at the streaming video services that are out there.
Especially in Australia. You've got Foxtel, Stan, Netflix, whatever the other, QuickFlix. But there's like five or six and they all have different content. You need to be subscribed to like three to get, you know, everything. And
people don't want to do that.
You just want one. It'll never happen with all the rights and streaming.
And another reason you don't want to do it is because of the cost.
For the consumer. Though,
the cost. You don't want to spend three subscriptions of $9 just to get what you want. It's just rubbish.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You have to log on to three different services. It's like, oh, what do we want to watch today? Game of Thrones, you've got to log on to this. What do we want? You have to remember watch each of your three streaming
which
services,
ones they're on.
What content they have. And if you can't, then you have to open up all three in tabs, do a search. Needs to be like, okay, let's subscribe to all three. We're coming up with solutions here, Geddes. We're coming up with, have all three and then have. Oh, this could be like a next big idea here. A website that aggregates all the content from all the streaming services and you enter a search for whatever show you want to listen to. And then it'll pull from all of them and then it'll tell you where it is and then you can click it and it'll go straight to that. That's what I'm developing right now, so don't steal my
idea. That'd be cool, but you're going to need to have rights to be able to do that as well.
I'll investigate and I'll speak to my lawyers.
Because content providers don't like you being able to make it easier for people. They like you to...
Yeah, but if they have the exclusive content, they want people to know, hey, I got it, go to me.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'll develop it and we'll see how it turns out.
Someone might develop it after hearing this.
We'll remove this bit.
I'll tell you what, Google is in the news for being nasty.
Oh, what have they done now? Do no evil, Google. It's their motto.
Do no evil, but they
be a bit. Do no evil, but be a bit nasty.
They have a lot.
In brackets.
They have a lot of services and they've got a lot of money and they can develop new things as they want to. And they can have things and then get bored with the package and sell it off to somebody else so that they can work on the product because it just doesn't work for Google's system.
Yeah, well, we were talking about with the digital radio. They developed some digital radio system.
Automation. Radio automation.
It wasn't working because it was a Google service. Did we talk about that last episode?
Yeah, we did.
Yep, go back to last episode to hear about that.
So Yelp. Have you heard about Yelp?
Yes.
It's a website where people can review businesses. It's a bit like, what is it, Urban Spoon, one of those other websites where you can rank food places.
Or like TripAdvisor kind of?
TripAdvisor, like that too, rank hotels. Yeah. So Yelp does ranking services and they are crying foul over the situation that they believe that Google has increasingly developed and promoted its own content as an alternative to their results on their search engines. So all the search items are promoting Google products over the top of these smaller businesses that are trying to get ahead. Anti-competitive.
It's their search engine, you know.
Yeah, but you should be able to differentiate because your product is search engine, not selling the person that's visiting
but
your
sell
website.
Ad space and you can pay for higher rankings and stuff like that, can't you?
So. Yes, yeah, but it should be clearly differentiated between search results so that people can get the right results and not just something some dude pays good money for to put at the top and to ensure that he gets...
Yeah.
All your dollars, even though he's not necessarily going to give you what you want, if you know what I mean.
So, solution is alternate search engine. Don't use Google for unbiased results. Is that what you're saying?
Yahoo and
what
Bing.
What is even?
No, they're all corrupt too.
What's one? What's a search engine that you could use?
I honestly don't know.
Do you remember Alta Vista back in the day?
Yeah, I do remember Alta Vista.
That was coming back.
And there was a couple of Australian ones as well. But there really isn't anything much outside of Google and Bing and Yahoo these days.
Yeah, you just couldn't compete because you don't have the indexing.
So you just need to learn how to cleverly use the search.
Yeah, I think it's just awareness, I guess, on the search's behalf.
Definitely. And the other thing
is... But you're getting the best deal regardless, isn't it? Yeah. At the end of the day, if it's a Google product or some other business, like, aren't you going to want the best deal anyway? Like, does this affect us?
Well...
it may hurt small businesses, but us as consumers, aren't we getting a better deal?
But if you hurt small business and you've got less of a playing field out there in your local market and you find it harder to get things... There was an example over somewhere, I think it was somewhere over in the US or another country, another third world country or something. They stopped making stuff locally and started importing everything. And then at the first, extreme weather event, they weren't able to get any imported product in.
I remember this with hard drives when they had that big flood in the factory or something.
Oh, yeah.
And all the hard drives went over, they all get made there and distributed from there.
Mm.
And then hard drive prices went through the roof and you couldn't get them anywhere because they're all in this one location.
Because they couldn't get the stock out and people were running out of hard drives.
Because they could make them cheaper there than anywhere else, I guess.
Yes.
So this
It represents problems. If Google is able to put their preferred results at the top and lure everybody into it, they're going to start pushing out the smaller people who are on there to get the right sales. And then, you know, they're pushed out of the market. They're no longer online. They're not trading anymore. And Google's the big winner and nobody else is. Common man isn't much of a winner out of Google being as fiercely competitive as they are, is it?
Have Google said anything about this? Like, obviously, there's been some issues raised.
No. Google has been contacted by a few media sources to see whether they could get something on the topic. And nothing much has come out at this point in time.
Mm. Maybe so next week we'll hear something.
We might retouch on that one and see where it gets to.
Interesting.
And the other one, the positive side of Google.
Ah.
Google, it's using Google Maps system. So, you know, how GPS.
So we've had a downer on Google. Yeah. Now we need an upper on
Google.
And
we're getting our upper now.
We need to become Google neutral.
So, you know, GPS devices, how they have alerts for traffic cameras.
We're talking about dedicated GPS devices or just iPhones?
Any GPS device. You know how they have traffic cameras and they have speed alerts and whatnot?
Google built Maps into doesn't. Them? Does it?
Not at the moment. Not at the moment.
So they're in the US or something?
Yeah.
But I know you can do that. You can get GPS services. You can get. Yeah.
So, you know, you can get like an audible and visual alert that you're approaching something. Over in the US, they're trying the idea with railroad crossings.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot of accidents over there where cars hit trains or whatever, or they get stuck on a railroad crossing or whatnot. So they're going to put audio-visual cues into the Google Maps system to alert people that they're approaching railway crossings.
I find that hilarious. Because as if a train crossing flashing massive red lights at you, making a ding, 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 huge noise, gates and stuff. I know not all crossings have things, but there's most of them would have, you know, audio and visual warnings and stuff. And the people that ignore those or ignore a massive train headlight and some honking, they're not going to pay attention to the GPS. They're going to try, like, oh yeah, Google says it. I'm going to try and beat it.
They're hoping they will, though.
Those people, they're just idiots that try and beat trains.
They are indeed.
I don't think they're going to listen to the GPS.
So you don't think it's going to work?
No, I don't think so. Because the people that think they can... I like to think maybe there are some people... No, there's no way. If you're approaching a crossing, you look and you slow down. You don't just blindly drive over it hoping that there's no train.
But there are people who do.
Just completely ignorant that it's a crossing. They don't even look to the left or right to see headlights of a train or anything.
It's ridiculous.
And they need a GPS. Oh, I don't know.
It's ridiculous, but they do.
I think some people deliberately try and beat it and they don't want to wait and stuff. And those people aren't, the GPS isn't going to help them. They're going to try and get across either way. They'll see the warning, they'll be like, I'm going to try and beat it, and they speed up. And they're still going to get hit. It's a nice innovation, though. It's a nice thought, and at least you can say you tried.
Yeah, it's an innovative product, and at least if you...
So they have to manually figure out where all the crossings are. I guess they can just take it from the Google Maps data, yeah?
There would be a database somewhere that would have all these crossings. The government would have a database showing where all the crossings are, and they just punch GPS coordinates into it.
So does it tell you only if it... Does it tell you a warning that you're approaching a crossing,
yes,
whether or not a train's coming?
Yes.
So it'll be like, you're approaching a crossing, slow down, or look both ways.
It'll just do a sound effect, you know, like the GPS
ding, ding,
do
ding,
at the
ding,
moment.
Ding, ding, ding. Honk, honk.
Maybe you can suggest to Google what you want to make the sound effect.
They could pull these sound effects if
I don't think they want them.
Get out of the way. There's a train coming. Slow down. No? Okay. When's that coming out?
Soon. Very soon. They've just come to the agreement to do the process.
US so only to start?
US only at this point in time. It's going to roll out to Apple, MapQuest, TomTom and Garmin.
Oh.
So a few manufacturers in the pipeline.
So not just restricted to Google
Not
Maps.
Just Google.
That's really cool.
So there you go.
Yeah, that's nice. So now I feel neutral about Google now.
Mm.
We don't want to tip us either way.
No, that's for sure.
Very interesting. Last episode, if you were listening, if you haven't, I highly recommend
you
go back.
Yes, you can listen online at techwrap.net.
Nice.
Or search for TechWrap in the Apple podcasting.
Yeah, but if you're listening to it, you already kind of know that.
Yeah.
But
true.
Subscribe now on iTunes.
I feel like saying it
Tell
anyway.
Tell a friend. Yeah, go for it.
Hey, email us too.
If you want to. Mail
at techwrap.org.
.net,
sorry.
That's too much work.
You just
want to sit back and listen and relax. You don't want to then go out and
I'm getting
us.
The domain name
don't
screwed up.
Us.
I'm getting it screwed up.
What?
Mail at techwrap.net. I said .org.
That's all right.
I don't know why I say .org.
Anyway, last episode we talked about Uber and some of their shenanigans they've been up to and the protests and stuff going on and the debacles. But I want to talk about a new service Uber are looking at.
A new service, eh?
Yes. What do you think about this? Uber Boat.
Shoot. Uber Boat.
Uber Boat.
Yeah. Uber Boat. Yeah. Someone drives you around on a boat.
Yeah. So they're planning to add boats to their growing list of travel services. As you know, you can get a taxi or a car service from the airport to your home or whatever, cheaper than a taxi currently, which is why they don't like Uber at the moment. But now they're looking to expand out to boats because there are, you know, bodies of water.
Yes.
And sometimes the quickest way is just to go across the water rather than the freeway or the jammed up road.
Certainly is in Melbourne. You can go to Rod Laver Arena from...
just by boat.
Some of the sections by boat, yeah.
I don't know if they've done it in Melbourne yet, but I know they definitely did it in Sydney. They did it for like a day or something.
Oh,
it's not
they?
Officially out
yep.
in Sydney, but they ran it for about a day. You just needed your Uber app and then you could book boats. They're also doing it in the Boston Harbor in the US. So it can be a lot quicker to get a boat.
Yes.
Which is really cool. But they've officially released it in Istanbul, Turkey. The service is now
available. That's a left of field country, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's a connection between Asia and Europe, split by a strait.
Yeah.
And instead of going by bus or car or something, you can just hit up the Uber app for a boat and cross the strait on the boat.
My Uber app out and we'll cross this big body of water called Australia and we'll go to New Zealand.
Yeah, yes. Uber New Zealand boat, Uber boat plus New Zealand. That's really cool.
It's neat. It's
but then,
neat.
Then
it's
you can
different.
Be like, say, Sydney Harbour. They've already got the ferries and the water taxis and stuff.
And now we've got Ubers
Uber
running
boat
around.
And their little like dinghies come all about Uber. So that's like another thing they're trying to get in on now. And they had the taxis on them. And now they're going to have the boat taxis and the ferries. And they're just causing so much trouble.
And are they going to be luxury boats?
And then what do they start? Clogging up the waters now. Everyone like buying a boat to become an Uber boat driver.
Yeah.
And Uber boats everywhere. Like high seas, there'll be like pirate battles, the Uber boats versus
Uber
the ferries. Like flipping them off and throwing rotten fruit to the, across.
Do you think it is a wise thing?
Sinking each other's boats and stuff, naval warfare.
Do you think it's a wise thing?
Well, I think Uber are going to continue to push the boundaries and expand as much as they possibly can.
Mm.
So, yeah, why not? Sure, it's the next logical step, I guess. There's lots of bodies of water and ferry services
there is.
And taxis. And you can, if you can create an organized system that you can get to one place or another by water that's quicker than boat, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Except, you know.
I want to be able to sign pirates. Up an account to take my first Uber water journey and get
Uber boat to the Caribbean
and get a discount as well. Because they offer discounts for new accounts sometimes.
What was that? What's that dangerous sea where the pirates are?
I've got no idea. My geography sucks.
Uber boat. Coming soon, I guess.
Yeah.
What's an Uber helicopter? Let's start that up.
Well, I'm surprised they don't have one already.
An air service, do you reckon?
Because there
that'd be a lot harder to regulate, though, in the US, yeah, with the airspace and stuff like
there's
that.
There's businesses.
Uber charter planes.
There's businesses who already do that in Melbourne. They do flights from the city to the airport, yeah, so people can get a luxury ride to the airport.
You can charter flights privately, so let's...
And helicopters.
Yeah, you could do Uber charter for businesses and stuff. I'm calling it now Uber charter or Uber flight.
Bang on their
pilots.
Doors.
You got your private pilot's license. You don't know what to do. Sign up to Uber flight.
Go over to America, bang on their doors and get it happening, Will.
It's coming soon, Uber flight. Called it here first. What else has been going on? Battery news.
Batteries.
Samsung have developed a new technology for their batteries. Allows them, once they fully developed, we could possibly get twice the capacity out of these batteries than we currently do.
Twice the capacity? Will they take up more room or...?
No. It'll be basically the exact same size as your current battery. No more weight.
Mm.
But we can get double the capacity. So essentially, double the lifespan of a battery.
It's amazing. Are they like squashing more molecules or something to make that happen?
It's new technology that the coating of the silicon on the batteries, it's a crystal... graphene technology.
Okay.
Mm.
Sounds very fancy.
It's really cool because I think that's like one of the big things holding back a lot of devices is the battery life. And I know it's been a big gripe with smartwatches.
Yes.
Not even being able to last you a full day, and it's something you wear every day and having to charge every night. If you could push 3, 4, 5 days or even a week from a fully functional smartwatch, I think that'd be a big seller and a big step forward into the world of smartwatches.
It would be very good.
So I remember when the Moto 360 came out, people were complaining that they couldn't even last a full day using it.
And the operating system.
Let's not talk about Android.
And the fact that it's like...
let's talk about this batteries.
A rounded lens.
Looking forward to the Moto 360 too. But that's really cool. And that technology then could also be applied into other things like the electric car. Mm. Imagine being able to go twice as further in your electric car.
Well, it'd make them useful here in Australia because they're not selling because they just can't go the extra mile at the moment.
Australia's a big place.
It is a big
place. A lot
place.
Of distance to cover and then
place.
Sort of just around the city. But yeah, so that's really, really cool. Speaking of things that don't need batteries, Geddes.
Yes,
solar Impulse 2, which is the solar-powered plane currently flying around the world.
So did you see this story?
Has now, this is what I saw, it's now broken the world record for the longest solo flight.
Longest solo flight.
I think previously
ever.
Like 70 something hours, and now it's like well over 80 hours and still going.
And to think about that, the last solo flight would have been done in a traditional plane. A traditional plane which has motors, has engines, has whatnot. This thing is a solar plane, so it's completely just solar.
It's incredible.
It doesn't have any batteries on it. So these guys are waiting for the perfect moment. To fly out of each country that they land in so that they can just smoothly sail on into wherever
so
they're going
it
next.
It flies above the clouds so you can have constant... What about at night?
It's unpressurized. It's...
So does it charge throughout the day and then it keeps you going throughout the night?
It doesn't charge. It just runs on solar panels.
What happens when it's night time?
Well, I'd say they'd be a little bit stuffed. They'd usually have
so you have to land? No.
They have to get the perfect conditions to keep this thing going.
I heard they had a bit of trouble. Was it in China or something? They were originally going to take off and then they moved to Japan and then it was a bit of weather issues and they had to delay.
They had to wait 2 weeks before they could move because they're waiting for this window where they've got perfect conditions between the two countries that they're flying through. And, you know, you don't always get those. Like our situation here where we live. Last few days have been pretty rubbishy. They've been cloudy. Mm. And today it's, you know, there's sunshine out there.
So they're just trying to keep it light. Is that why they didn't have any batteries? Because they want it as light as possible.
I'd say so. And yes, so this thing runs just completely on solar panels. They pick the perfect moments and then fly, and they've got no backup plan as well. So if
does he have a parachute?
So I'd say he'd have a parachute. But, you know, if something goes wrong and he has to plunge into the ocean, it's just him, him
probably,
and his parachute.
He's being tracked and stuff in the rescue teams. Yeah, but that's incredible. Imagine being in the cockpit nonstop. And he's been there. He's going to be in there for 5 days or something in multiple weeks.
He gets 20 minutes sleep.
And then
every
the plane
so many
just
hours.
Autopilots for a bit, and he wakes up. He's like, "Oh man, you'd have like no." I think if I was like that, I'd be having nightmares of crashing, and I'd just say, "Oh, I'm going down." Oh, thank God! Like it'd be stressful.
Yeah, yeah, and keeping a regime as well, like
by yourself
eating.
What's he snacking on?
Drinking. I've got no idea what the food is, but
packet of nuts.
But I know he's got his team talking to him
motivating
over some sort of link.
Maybe he's listening to Apple Music while he's flying.
Well, Apple Music.
They're sending me a stream.
He left before Apple Music got started.
Oh,
so
rookie mistake.
Maybe he's using Spotify.
He's probably got he's probably taken up an iPod, snacking on some Doritos.
Oh, you'd have to do
that's
something.
Incredible. World record flight, and he's still going.
There's no one following him up in the air.
Still going.
There's only people tracking him down on the ground, and he's still going.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Where's he landing, do you know?
I've got no idea where the end destination is at this point in time. But
I'll have to look that up.
It's something worth looking up. Like, it's mad. Mad indeed. You are listening to Tech Wrap, which we always fail to mention during our podcast.
People know what they're listening
People know what they're listening to, though. But
you just randomly stumble across it. Ooh, start listening. What the hell am I listening to? Oh, it's Tech Wrap. Thank God you told us. Otherwise, I would have had no idea.
Go to techwrap.net. You can email us as well if you feel like telling us how.
Follow us on Twitter.
Tell us how crap we are. Mail@techwrap.net.
Do you know what we should do? We should do a Periscope stream.
We could do a Periscope stream.
One day.
That'd be pretty cool.
One day, a live stream.
Yes, we are on Twitter.
Just for fun.
We signed up to Twitter in recent days. You can find us by searching for Tech Wrap Podcast. We've got a nice little profile and a generic-looking podcast icon. And we have 10 followers. Let's do something different. I'll say good day to the followers that we have at the moment.
No, we don't want to do that.
Why is that?
Go for it.
Hello, that Dan Hill. There's a guy called Matty Forever, oh my God. And Logs and Moles. Logan and Molly. There's
Can we please just get heaps of followers so Geddes doesn't have to read this out?
Well, I won't be reading them out next time. But there you go.
That's some great tech news.
Making people feel warm in the cockles of their hearts and insides and
hey,
being glad to follow us on Twitter and whatnot. Yeah?
Let's do. Sometimes there are some big stories.
There is.
That you can talk about and you can talk about for ages throughout the week. You know, the big ones.
Mm.
There's a big backstory, lots to talk about.
Mm.
Other times there's just a little bit of news that's released and you're like, oh, that's interesting. But that's as far as it goes.
Yeah. There is times like that.
Yeah.
News in brief.
Yeah. So I think we should take those little bits of news that are worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Just for, you know,
yeah.
To inform the people. And then maybe if they like the story, they could do a bit more research themselves on their own.
They could do that.
So why don't we fire off, say, some quick headlines of some stories.
Yeah.
I've come up with five. You come up with five while I read my five.
And you've come up with a bit of a title for it.
Yeah, and we need to do, because I think this is a cool idea. I like it. We should make this a segment and have like an intro and a theme song before we do it. And this, I think it'd be a nice way to end as well.
Hmm.
What do you think? So I was thinking something along the lines of, this is the... I can't...
Look at this. He's good at introing.
It'd be just like, this is the technology headlines of the week. These are the quick headlines. Geddes, give me some quick headlines. What do you think?
Yes.
Quick head. All right, so this is what I've got. Facebook's new logo. I don't know if you've seen it.
It looks great. New logo.
So much more pleasing.
New logo.
It's more friendly and approachable because I was fearful of Facebook before and I didn't really want to go near it. But now I've seen this new logo. I'm all aboard. I'm across Facebook now.
You know, the new logo makes me feel so relaxed.
You can now start your Hyundai remotely with Android Wear or Apple Watch. So you don't even need keys anymore. Just tap a button on your watch. Beep, beep. Off you go. But I'm sure that's going to come to cars in the future as well.
But I've got a Vivo Smart.
Very cool. That's useless. Snapchat. Update coming. Before, you always used to have to hold down your finger to view snaps or photos or something.
Yes, you did.
That used to be like, it's the hallmark of Snapchat. Made it different, made it unique. Now they're introducing an update where you just tap it once and then it will display it. So you no longer need to hold your finger down to view snaps.
There you go.
Crazy. Google, this is funny. The new Google Photos was released. Where you could upload all your photos to Google Photos, the Photos app.
Oh, the recognition
storage,
thing.
Blah, blah, blah. Google engineer has had to apologize now after Google Photos has automatically tagged two black people as gorillas.
Oh, no.
Those are gorillas.
That's an awkward moment.
So they've removed the gorilla feature since then, so nothing can be tagged. Even if you're taking a picture of a gorilla, it won't even say it's a gorilla because they've removed the gorilla tag altogether now after the controversy.
That is a very awkward moment.
It was a guy and his girlfriend, and he's this is a lovely photo of us in the park.
Gorillas.
No, uploads it to Google Photos.
You're a gorilla.
Yeah. That was funny.
Sorry.
Not for them.
Lol.
I think they found the humour in it.
Yeah.
But it's been rectified. Outrage on Twitter. Goodness.
It has been splattered across the internet as well.
Prince has pulled all his music from Spotify. Speaking of streaming services,
is that a surprise?
He had his music on Spotify and now he's pulled it all.
Is that
and
a surprise?
My quick head. Geddes, what do you got? Give me some quick head.
MasterCard. Lines. They're going to do facial recognition and let you pay with your face instead of with an NFC device.
I see a problem with that because I've seen the movie Face Off.
What happens in Face Off?
I'm going to take your face.
Yes. A casting of your face. Oh.
And then pay and put your face on my face.
Yeah, but how likely is that going to happen?
It'll happen. People will find a way.
So there is a new application that's coming out that will allow callers to, phone users to block calls and texts while the users are driving. A handy little application for...
Is this your head too? Headline too?
That mad person that is, texting while they're driving.
You shouldn't do that.
They can be restricted. Yes, you should not text and drive. You should not answer your phone and hold it to your ear while you're driving. You will not only get a nasty fine, but you could also crash and hurt other people.
Use Google Voice or Siri.
Yeah. Use some recognition. Use some Bluetooth. Bluetooth is the most important if you're going to do that. And you would have a better time.
Interesting.
So Windows 10, it's coming out on July 29.
All aboard the hype train. Toot, toot.
But
their last official big release ever, because all the updates after that will be segmented and rolled up as updates. So Windows 10 is the final version of Windows.
But, hold your horses.
No, I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm installing now.
Hold your horses. Windows 10.
50% complete.
Will be available on July 29 for those who are purchasing it. But it will be rolled out progressively to those people who have got versions of Windows 7 and Windows 8who are looking for a free upgrade.
The upgrade.
So the upgrades are not going to be on July 29.
You can download the beta version of Windows 10 or the developer preview, and it will be a bit buggy in releasing future updates, but you can get it for free. It won't be the final complete version of Windows.
You will not ultimately get a final complete
You'll always be on a beta version, I think.
And beta versions ultimately expire at the end too.
I think once they release new updates, they'll quicker. I think it was a bit of a grey area because people were like, what does this mean? Because they thought they were getting it for free and then they said they were going to extend the beta program, blah, blah, blah. But anyway.
And here's something you brought up as well. You thought pirated copies of Windows were going to let you have a full version of Windows
10.
Oh, this
is the early days of speculation.
And
this is a long time.
This is a big no. That's not going to happen. Like, it might let you upgrade to Windows 10, but it'll soon say you've got an invalid license. You need to purchase a copy, which is what they do at the moment with Windows 7 and Windows 8.
Get on the developer
with the
preview.
Genuine protection program. So
that'll be interesting to see how the launch goes.
Not everybody is going to get a copy of Windows 10 on July 29 if they're doing an upgrade from Windows 7 and Windows 8.
Will you be upgrading?
I'll upgrade because I'm using Windows 8 at the moment on my Microsoft Surface Pro 3 and it's going along quite
all right. We'll probably talk, do a big Windows 10 cast and talk about it once it's released.
Yeah. So do you remember earlier on in the week where we had a leap second? They put another second into the world clock to account for the change in time.
Oh, I needed that leap second.
So
because now I can... claim a longer performance length in the bedroom.
Oh, yes.
Because I can now measure
can
to leap seconds.
You can go 1 second further.
One leap second further.
So that
was a big win for me.
So Telstra's talking time service had the extra pip in it, but it didn't quite sound like a pip. But it was there. It was there to say
even,
that it was
who listens
1 second
though,
ahead. But that's not the point I'm making.
Okay, what is it?
Apparently, the leap second has affected some internet routers, causing 2,000 networks to crash.
Typical. Y2K all over again.
Briefly, Well, Y2K was nothing. Do you remember Y2K?
Yeah, they were like, oh, the reset to 00 is going to screw everything up.
I was at a party. I was at a party on December 29.
Doomsday party, because you thought the world was going to end.
1999.
You had the knife in your hand ready to at midnight, but it was all okay.
And we went in to have a look at the computer. And it flicked over just fine. Nothing happened.
20 people just gathered around with like drinks in their hand, this computer at a Y2K party.
Well, you know.
I suppose it did double as a New Year's Eve.
People were freaking out though. People were going around. There was people who were charging people to do Y2K compliances.
The good old days.
And nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Is that your quick head lines?
One more.
Oh.
One more. We've got the manufacturer Chev. They're putting air conditioner vents in. Yeah, Chevys.
Ah.
Air conditioner vents in for your mobile phones while they're charging.
Time.
But what happens when your mobile phone charges?
It gets hot. Especially if you're using wireless charging, which you can do.
Yeah, but it doesn't stay hot. It doesn't stay hot for long. So do we really need this?
I don't know. I guess maybe sensitive people that put it in their pockets.
I suppose you do in there. Thanks for the demonstration. I suppose they do in America. It's quite a warm climate, isn't it?
My phone can get quite warm when charging. And especially if you have your phone on, you might have it in your car.
Yeah.
You might be hooked up to your Bluetooth, playing streaming music from Apple Music when it comes out on Android. And listening to music, streaming it, and charging at the same time. Your phone could get really, really hot. So to have it cool when it goes in your pocket, I think, is nice. Like sometimes when you...
But you're not going to put it immediately in your pocket.
I think it's just a very niche thing.
It's a fad.
It's
a fad. It's a car fad.
Yeah. If you're storing your phone in this nice little pouch anyway, to have it cooled is just like a nice feature, I guess. I hate it when you're sitting in bed with your laptop on your lap and it gets really hot and then your laptop's all hot.
The ultimate that's a processor doing its work. It's getting warm. It needs to discharge somewhere.
It's interesting though.
So it discharges onto a heatsink and then a heatsink blows the heat out.
So those are the quick headlines, the quick technology headlines of the week. That was quick headlines. I like it. That could be a thing. I think we'll work on the intro and outro.
Yeah. It's a bit rough at the moment. But then again, you could say the show's a bit rough around the edges at the moment and we're just fine-tuning everything nicely.
Huge improvement over last week. That was rubbish.
But that is life. That is you having a crack. And we're having a good old crack. We're doing tech talk in our way, our tech rap.
Hope you like it.
More filling than a burrito.
Go find it on iTunes. No, just as filling.
You might have found, just as filling.
Subscribe, get the feed, hassle-free.
Go online as well.
Much more to come.
Techwrap.net is the website.
And you can click and subscribe or just search for TechWrap on iTunes and it will be there, top result.
And if you'd like us to read something out, email mail at techwrap.net.
Or tweet us.
Don't abuse us.
I think tweet.
Tweet us.
At TechWrap Podcast.
Tell us.
I think that's the easiest way. Forget email. No one uses email anymore.
Tell us you're listening. Tweet. TechWrap Podcast. Say g'day. Say hi.
Episode 2 in the bag.
Tell us if we're crap.
It's been fun, Geddes.
It has been all right.
I'll see you next week.
Thanks for the journey.
See ya.